Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
This series that we're in at the moment is all about hearing the voice of God for yourself, because we know that God does not just speak to a select few. God does not speak to priests and nobody else. God speaks to all of us. And so we say today, God, may it happen to me. May it happen to me. This series that we're in is called Are You Listening? And it's all about the idea and the reality that God can and does speak to all of us. May it happen to me. We started this series by talking about how God does speak, about how God speaks to different ones throughout the Bible. And then last week, Meredith talked to us about what the voice of God will do in your life. It sustains us. It will bring a sustenance to you. May it happen to me. This series that we're in today's message, we're talking about who God speaks to. And I have a reminder for you that God will speak to the willing. God will speak to the available. May it happen to me. May it happen to me. All throughout Scripture, we see God speaking to different ones. We see different ones who are hearing the voice of God. From the very beginning, we see Adam walking with God in the cool of the day. And then we see Moses, who would talk to God like he would talk to a friend. May it happen to me. We see God talking through animals, and we see God talking through the storms, and we see God talking through the earthquakes, and we see God talking to Elijah, not through any of those things, but through the quiet whisper. May it happen to me. God talks through creation, and when God spoke at the very beginning and he said everything needs to come into existence, it stood up to attention and came into existence. God has talked throughout different things and at different times. God will talk through angels and send them as messengers. And in this scripture that we just read about, we are reintroduced to the angel Gabriel. This is not the first time that we hear from Gabriel in Scripture. This is the second time that we see the angel Gabriel in Scripture. The very first time we hear from Gabriel is 500 years ago. We hear from Gabriel as he appears in the book of Daniel. And back in the book of Daniel, he's speaking to Daniel and he's declaring the coming Messiah. 500 years before this Scripture that we just read, he's talking about Jesus. And 500 years later, he's still talking about Jesus. For 500 years, he's been talking about Jesus. What I've come to find is that the more that you spend time with Jesus, the more that you want to spend time talking about Jesus. The more that you spend time in his presence, the more that you find that he just begins to overtake every different part of your life. The more that you spend time with Jesus, the more that you think about him when you first wake up in the morning. The more that you think about him when you go to sleep at night. Jesus in the morning and Jesus in the evening and Jesus when you're sleeping and Jesus when you're waking. When you spend time with Jesus, it begins to overtake every single part of your life. Jesus when you're by yourself, and Jesus when you're in social gatherings, and Jesus in the morning, and Jesus when you're sleeping. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I can tell when people spend a whole lot of time about Jesus because they love talking about Jesus. I love reading this scripture because for 500 years, Gabriel has been talking about Jesus. He's been preparing people for the coming Messiah. He's been preparing people for the Jesus that is to come. And I've been finding myself praying this entire week, Jesus, won't you speak to me as you spoke to Mary back then? May it happen to me. In the same way that the angel Gabriel came to Mary, may it also happen to me, God. May it happen to me. Would I hear your voice in the same way that you spoke 2,000 years ago? Won't you send angels and visitations to us? May it happen to me. May it happen to me. And this is the prayer of all of ours as believers, that it would happen to me. May it happen to me. And not only that we would hear the voice of God, but that also that we would respond in the same way that Mary responded. May it happen to me. With every doubt and with every insecurity and every unsureness, won't it happen to me? May it happen to me. That's our heart as believers, that we would not only hear the voice of God, but that we would also respond the same way as well. May it happen to me. And what I have found over time is that God speaks to the willing. God speaks to the available. God speaks to those who are open and those who are ready to respond and those who are ready to receive. He is less concerned with your abilities. He's less concerned with your qualifications. He's less concerned with your education. He's less concerned with your position. And he's more concerned with your availability. He's more concerned with your willingness. And he's more concerned with your openness. He's less concerned about your piety and your holiness. He's more concerned about, if you are willing to pray the prayer, God, won't it happen to me? May it happen to me. And I hear this from people on a regular basis, that they say, I can't hear the voice of God because I haven't finished this degree, or I can't hear the voice of God because I'm not a pastor, or I can't hear the voice of God because I have this sin in my past that's unresolved, or I can't hear from God because I've done this thing that I haven't ever dealt with, or I can't hear from God because I don't have this position, or because I don't pray enough, or because I don't show up to church enough, or I don't do this, or I don't do that. I can't hear from God because of whatever reason. But it doesn't work like that. God doesn't just speak to the holy. He speaks to those who are willing to hear, those who are willing to respond, those who are willing to receive. I remember several years ago, I was at this season in my life where I had a fork in the road moment. And I didn't know exactly whether I should go this way or whether I should go that way. I had just finished my degree back in New Zealand, and I knew that I needed to do something with the next season of my life. And so I decided that, because I didn't know what I needed to do exactly, I just packed my bags and I jumped on a plane and I flew to India and spent several months in India. And I had the time of my life there. I spent all of my money, which was not a lot of money, so it was really easy to do. But I ate all kinds of good food, and I worked with some great nonprofits, and I saw God at work, and I spent like 3 months there and just had a fantastic time. And then the time began to come to a close, and I began to panic because I thought, well, now I need to really decide what I'm going to be doing with this next season of my life. I was young, I was single, and I didn't know what I needed to do, but I knew that I had my future ahead of me. And so I felt a prompting from God that it was right for me to fly back to Australia rather than flying back to New Zealand. I grew up in Australia, and my entire family was in Australia, but for the last few years, I'd been living in New Zealand, where I was studying and where my church was and where my soccer team was and where my work was and where my friends were. My entire life really was in New Zealand, but I felt like God was leading me to move back to Australia. And I remember sitting on the plane, and I'm having a conversation with God, and I'm like, God, what are you leading me back to Australia for? What do you have for me in Australia? And I heard God reply to me, you're not going back for a what, you're going back for a who. And I know that you've potentially heard this story before, but there's this part of this story that I've left out. God told me that I was going back for a who, and I thought to myself, I don't know who this who is, but I'm excited to meet this who that God has lined up for me. And so what I didn't know is that 12 months beforehand, God had led Meredith Pitts to move to Sydney, Australia, to spend time at Bible college. I didn't know any of this had happened. I'd never heard of this person before. And God had orchestrated the steps for her to make friends with all kinds of different people, several of which who lived in my parents' house as international students. I didn't know any of this was going on, but God was working behind the scenes. And so I flew back to Australia, and I got off the plane, and my mom picked me up that day, and she said, hey, I'm so excited that you're home, because I'm going to cook your favorite meal, because I can tell that you've lost some weight since you've been in India, and my mom will not allow you to be skinny in her house. And so she said, I'm going to cook your favorite meal, and your brothers are so excited that you're back home, and I've also invited this person named Meredith over for dinner. And I was like, Meredith? this thing that I felt on the plane stood up on me when God had originally spoken to me that I was not going back for a what, that I was going back for a who. That thing that stood up on the inside of me, that same thing stood up when my mom said the name Meredith to me. And I realized in that moment, that's the who that I need to meet. And I began to pray as we were driving back home, Lord Jesus, won't you please ensure that she is young, that she is single, that she is fine. And don't you know that my God will supply all of your needs? Because she was young and she was single and she was fine. And when I met her later on that day, I realized to myself, this is the woman that God has for me to marry. I realized that I had been created for her and she had been created for me. And we started dating soon afterwards, and we're getting ready to celebrate our 13th year of marriage. Come on, God is good. The part that I haven't told you about in this story, though, obviously, as you go through time and as you go through relationships, it's not always good. You have good times and you have rough times. And there was a season of our dating time where it was really difficult because Meredith had decided to move back to Toledo, and I was still living in Australia. She felt like it was right for her to come back to work on staff here at the church, and I was still working with refugees and doing some different things in Australia. And Meredith and I were then doing distance relationship, like 9,000 miles of distance relationship back in 2011. There was no iPhone. There was no iMessage. We're having to pay for every text message that we are sending to each other. So we're emailing, and there was no Zoom, there was no FaceTime. None of these things existed. Doesn't it make us feel real old when I say that, right? And so I remember we did this for a few months, and I hated it. I didn't enjoy this experience because when there's someone that you really want to be close to and you can't be close to them, it breaks your heart every single day. And I remember going to my parents one night, and I said to them, hey, this whole distance thing is not working for me. I want to be closer to Meredith, and I want to marry her. I want to propose to her. I want to go ahead and buy a ring, and I want to propose to her, and I want to spend the rest of my life with her. And part of why I said it to them is because I'd never said those words out loud, and I wanted to hear how those words sounded coming out of my mouth. And so I said them to my parents because I'd never wanted to marry anybody before. And I looked in my parents' eyes to see if they were going to say, that's the dumbest thing that you could possibly be doing. Or I was looking for some reassurance from my parents. And my parents paused and they looked back at me. And for what seemed like 5 seconds, they didn't say anything. My dad looked me in the eyes and he said, well, it's about time. And I felt every ounce of insecurity and every ounce of doubt begin to melt away from me. As soon as my dad said, well, it's about time. He said, before you even met Meredith, back a year beforehand when I first met Meredith, when I met Meredith, God told me that's the woman that Phil's gonna marry. And when he told me that, that just brought this level of reassurance that I couldn't have had from myself. He said, I didn't want to tell you that because I wanted you to hear from God yourself. And I didn't want to tell you that because I wanted you to go through the process and I wanted you to go through the journey and I wanted you to figure that out for yourselves. But back before you even met, I heard God say to me that that's the woman that Phil's going to marry. And don't you know that every single time that I've had any doubt, any single time that we have any kind of conflict in our relationship, I go back to that conversation where I hear my dad say to me, I knew before you even met each other that God had created you for each other. It's a powerful thing when your father can speak life to you. That's part of the role that we have as fathers, is to speak life to our children, to speak hope to our children, to speak identity to our children, to speak purpose to our children. It's part of what we can do that nobody else can do. Your friends can't do it, but it's part of what we can do as fathers, is speaking those things into our children. When we say it doesn't seem like you think that you're going to be able to do it, but you're going to be able to overcome. It seems like you're ready to give up, but let me tell you that you have it in you to be able to succeed. It seems like you think that this storm is going to take you out, but let me tell you, this storm is not going to take you out. That's what the voice of a father can do to their children. And that's what I heard my dad say to me back then. It brought a level of reassurance that I never could have had just by myself. And though I had heard God speak to me directly, there's something powerful when God speaks to someone else and confirms it as well. And that's exactly what happens in the story with Mary. Mary first hears from Gabriel, and she's all nervous and she's all anxious and she doesn't know. She's like, why me? And are you sure about this? And then the angel Gabriel says, well, it's not just you that is receiving a miracle. Also, your cousin Elizabeth is receiving a miracle as well. And Mary begins to doubt less, and she begins to think more of herself, and she begins to realize that she is able, because if God is speaking to Elizabeth, then God can also speak to her. And if God is performing a miracle for Elizabeth, then God can also perform a miracle for her. There's something powerful when God speaks, because he doesn't just speak to us individually. God doesn't speak in a vacuum. He speaks to all who are willing to hear his voice. There's something powerful about that. What I have learned is that God will speak to those who are willing. God will speak to those who are willing. Mary thought that she was uneducated. Mary thought that she was there was nothing special about her, and those things were true. Mary was just a regular person. Mary was just a normal person. There was nothing that was irregular about Mary. She was a completely normal, completely average person, until the moment that God stepped in and decided to alter the course of human history around her. And you might be feeling that for yourself as well, that God doesn't speak to me just because I'm a regular person, because there's nothing special about me. There's nothing unique about me. God doesn't see me in this room filled with people. But let me just tell you that when you begin to remove that doubt and replace it with, may it happen to me, God will speak to you. I promise you that. When you stop believing the insecure thought that God doesn't care about me because I'm uneducated, because I'm unlearned, because he made me like this, or whatever the excuse is, when you begin to relieve yourself of that and replace it with the promise and the belief that God will speak to you, and the prayer, God, may it happen to me, I promise you that God will speak to you. May it happen to me. May it happen to me. And this is all good, except it's difficult for us to know what willingness even looks like. Because we can say that we're willing, but what does willingness actually look like? There's 3 points that I want to talk about. The first point that I want to talk about is that willingness is prepared in the past. Your willingness is prepared in the past. If you're telling me that God doesn't speak to you on a Sunday morning, if you're telling me that you don't have any community here at church, I'm not going to ask you what your Sunday morning experience looks like. I'm going to ask you what your Saturday evening preparation looks like. If you show up to church on a Sunday morning 10 minutes after the service has begun, and you drop your kids off in kids ministry, and then you race into the service after the third song, and you think that God is going to honor that, and you think that God is going to speak to that, you're kidding yourself. When you race in here after shouting at your kids all morning to try and get them ready for church, and you think that God is going to speak to you, or you on Saturday night, you're out drinking with your friends and you're staying up late and you're watching all kinds of ungodly TV shows and secular music is entering into your soul, and all of this is going on your Saturday evening, and then you show up on a Sunday morning and you expect to be holy and pious and for God to speak to you. That's not the way that it works. Your Sunday morning doesn't begin on Sunday morning. You know when my Sunday morning begins? On Saturday evening. On Saturday evening, I don't drink any alcohol. I go to bed early to make sure that I am fully ready and I'm fully rested to hear what God has for us and to make sure that I'm at my best, because I know if I have less sleep, then I'm not going to be able to receive what God has for us fully. I get distracted. I'm more irritable, right? I make sure that I'm listening to worship music, and I make sure that I'm having godly conversations, and I make sure that I'm surrounding myself with good things to make sure that I am at my best to be able to receive exactly what God has for us on a Sunday morning. If you don't have community here at Cornerstone Church, it's less likely because there's an issue with the church and more likely an issue with the time that you arrive and the time that you leave church on a Sunday. Your willingness is determined by your preparation, right? It is your preparation that will determine your willingness. Your willingness is prepared by the past. But what does this have to do with Mary? Because Mary didn't have a whole lot of control over her ability to be eligible to be the mother of Jesus. There was all kinds of prophecies that had taken place over hundreds of years. There were hundreds of prophecies about the way that Jesus was going to come into the world, and most of which were outside of Mary's control. She couldn't control the gender that she was born as. She couldn't control the place that she was born as. She couldn't control the location that she was born into. She couldn't control any of these things. But what she could control was her conduct. Mary was a virgin. Mary decided within herself, I'm going to be a virgin until I get married. And it seems like a strange point to make, but what we know is that Scripture was clear, that prophecy was clear, was that the Messiah would come back through the womb of a virgin. And Mary could have been out sleeping around with different people. She could have been sleeping with Joseph, but she decided within herself, I'm not going to do that, and I'm committed to abstinence. And her conduct in this context opened the door for her to be used by God in this way. And I'm not saying that this should be a motivation for you, because Jesus is not coming back to the earth through your womb. But I do know that when you are committed to the things of God, that when you decide within yourself to lay down and surrender the things that you want in the name of Jesus, that you get something better on the other side of it. That God will exchange the things that you want that you're laying down with something better. I promise you this to be true. I've seen it time and time again that when you're willing to lay it down, when you're willing to sacrifice it, God will exchange it for something better on the other side of it. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. Not only is your willingness prepared in the past, but your willingness is also available in the future. Your willingness is available in the future. Y'all remember Samuel? Samuel in the Old Testament, when he was a young boy, God spoke to Samuel, 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 right? It's the voice that I have in my mind when God speaks to Samuel. It's not just Samuel. It's always Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel runs to Eli to hear exactly who it was that was speaking. And Eli says, well, it wasn't me, so you should go back to bed. And Samuel goes back to bed, and then he hears again, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel gets back out of bed and runs to Eli again, and Eli says, it wasn't me, go back to bed. Samuel didn't have to respond the way that he did. He could have laid in bed and ignored the voice that spoke to him. He could have just laid there thinking, well, it's not for me because it's late in the evening, and so I don't really know who that is that's calling, but I'm just gonna lay here because I don't really know who it is and I don't really know why they're calling, so I'm just gonna lay here and not respond. But it was his response that opened the door for him to be able to receive. If you're unwilling to respond, so often we miss the opportunity to receive. And often when there's someone that's here on the platform and they're saying to you that God is great and that God is awesome and that God is worthy and that God is worthy of all of our praise, what we're doing is to try and elicit a response from you, not for my benefit, but because I know that if I can get you to respond, then I can get you to receive. And so when I say that he's the Alpha and he's the Omega and he's the beginning and that he's the end, when I can get you to respond, I know that I can get you to receive. And you can worship with your hands in your pocket if you want to. You can sit there and fall asleep during this message if you want to. But your posture indicates your ability or your interest in responding. And if you're not interested in responding, that limits your ability to receive what God is doing. In the same way that when I have a gift to give to Harida, and I say, I've got a gift that I want to give to you, if she just stands there with her hands in her pockets, that tells me she has no interest in receiving the gift that I have for her. It is when she responds and puts her hands out that opens the opportunity for her to receive the gift that has been made available to her. Your response indicates your desire to receive. We see this happen time and time again throughout Scripture. When Jesus calls to Peter, who's in the boat, and he says, come on out here and walk on the water with me. Peter, before he can experience the miracle, before he can receive the miracle, he has to respond by getting out of the boat. He doesn't get to receive the miracle until he responds in the first place. But God will always speak to your availability before he speaks to your ability. And we don't like this point because we love to be people who are preparing for everything. Before you get married, you want to prepare for marriage. Before you start your job, you want to prepare for that. Before you start school, you want to prepare for school. Before you do everything, you want to prepare for that thing. But God doesn't speak to your ability first. He speaks to your availability first. But we like to prepare, so we don't like this message because we like to make sure that we are in control of whatever it is that God is going to be asking of us. God does it the opposite way. If someone had told Peter early in life, hey, one day you're going to walk on water, Peter would have tried to start preparing for that. He would have signed up for some water walking classes. He would have tried to do it himself when no one was watching, when he's out fishing by himself. Let me try and figure out how to do this thing by myself so that when Jesus eventually calls for me, he's like, it's all good, Jesus. I know how to do this. I've been preparing and I've been practicing and I've got this ability that I already have. But Jesus doesn't work like that. Jesus first wants your availability and then he will use your ability. First availability and then ability. That's how this works. It works if you are willing to respond, that impacts your ability to receive. Are you available? Are you available to receive what God has for you? Are you available to receive the message that God has for you? Or are you upset with the way that the message is packaged? Well, I prefer it when Meredith preaches on Sunday mornings. I prefer it when Bishop preaches. I like it when this guy is too white. This music is too loud. We don't sing enough gospel music. We don't sing enough CCM music. This is too loud, or this is too quiet, or I have to park too far away from the building, or now I have to serve in kids ministry, or now I have to do this, or I can't receive the message of the house anymore because I don't like the way that it's packaged. How many times do we miss what God is doing? How many times do we miss what God is saying because we don't like the package that it's being presented to us in? Are you willing to receive the message no matter what package that it comes to you in? Are you willing to receive what God is doing no matter how it comes to you? Are you available or are you more interested in your abilities? Your willingness is prepared in your past, but it's made available in your present and it's proven in your future. Your willingness is proven in your future. It's easy for us to think that Mary's yes was an easy yes to give, because who wouldn't want to play this role for the gospel? Who wouldn't want to play this role when God sends an angel to you? Who wouldn't want to play this role to have the Son of God on the inside of you? Who wouldn't want that role? Who wouldn't want to play this unique role when an angel comes to you and begins to move on your behalf? Who wouldn't want to receive this kind of offer? What Mary was saying yes to was not everything that would be easy. It meant a certain level of social disgrace that she would experience because she was now with child when she had never been with marriage. And even more than today, there was a level of social disgrace when a child was born outside of wedlock. It would have meant a level of social disgrace, and it would have also meant that people were gossiping, and it would have also meant that people were talking. And every time that she walked into a room and every time that she walked into a space, she would hear people talking about Mary, that people talking about this and people talking about that. She said yes originally, but her yes was not an easy one. Her yes would be proven in the future. And that's not all that she said yes to. She was also saying yes to the reality that she would one day see her son murdered on the cross for sins that he never committed. I cannot imagine seeing one of my children going through something like that. But that's what she was saying yes to when the angel Gabriel first came and spoke to her. That's what she said yes to. And it's easy to say yes in the moment, but your yes will be proven in the future. Are you committed to the yes that you gave one time? Are you committed to the yes when you received Christ into your life? Are you committed to the yes when you decided to get baptized? It's easy to get baptized last week, but what does your yes mean this week? It's easy to continue. It's difficult to continue walking in that. It's difficult to say yes day after day after day after day. What I've found is that that gets easier over time, though, the more that you say yes to Jesus. I remember, this is my last story and then I'm done. I remember several years ago, I was sitting at a cafe with a friend of mine, and we were sitting outside the cafe on the sidewalk drinking a cup of coffee, and I was talking with my friend across the table, and I said, I believe the Bible and I love God. But I believe that we should be able to pray and see miracles take place. I believe that we should be able to lay hands on people and that we should be able to see them get healed. And I believe that we should be able to pray for people in wheelchairs and see them get up out of wheelchairs. And don't you know that as soon as those words left my mouth, someone in a wheelchair rolled right by me. And my jaw just about hit the ground. And I was like, dang, God is listening. My friend looked back at me and smiled and said, well, you asked and God delivered. So what are you going to do about it? I sat there for like 3 seconds and I got over all the anxiety and I got over all of that fear and got over all of that doubt. And I felt faith rise up within me and I stood up to my feet and I walked after the person. And as they were rolling down the sidewalk, they turned the corner ahead of me past these shops and I couldn't see them anymore. I was a few feet behind them and it took me a couple seconds to turn the corner. And as soon as I turned the corner, this person was gone, vanished. There was no doors that they could have gone into. There was no people that they could have been hiding behind. This person just vanished into thin air. And I stood there all confused, like you can imagine, and I'm looking everywhere to try and find this person. And I felt the presence of God come over me. And he said to me, you were so focused on trying to get that person out of their chair, I needed to see if I could get you out of your chair. And I stood there and I realized the power in that message that God had communicated. Because I had gotten out of my chair, because I had heard his voice and he was able to get me out of my chair, that would ensure that I was continuing to walk after the things of God in the future. because I knew that I had responded in that moment, it became easier the next time that I was going to pray for somebody. It became easier the next time that I heard God's voice and I could follow after that thing. God doesn't ever tell you the entirety of a message that you're going to communicate. God will show you just a portion of what you're going to communicate. Anytime that you see Meredith or I speaking words over different people, we don't know the entirety of what we're going to say to that person in that moment. But I know that God has identified and he has revealed a message for somebody. And now he's testing to see if I'm willing to take a step in that direction. And as I begin to step out and as I begin to walk, that's when God will continue to reveal the message that he has for that person. God doesn't show the entirety of it. It's almost like when God said to Abraham, go into the land that I will show you. He didn't know everywhere that he was going. He just needed to know enough to take one step. Your yes will be proven in your future. It would be nice if I could tell you that everything would be easy for you. It would be nice if I could tell you that God will communicate everything for you. But if you've been walking with God for some time, then you know it to be true that God has always been faithful and he always will be faithful, and that he does not abandon you and he does not forsake you, that God will never leave you high and dry, that if God leads you in a direction, that he's going to stay walking with you in that direction if you continue trusting him and if you continue walking it out. And this is what I came to declare to you today. That he has prepared you in your past, that he is speaking to you in your present, and that your yes will be proven in the future. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I'm so thankful for a house that believes that you can and that you do speak. And God, I speak over every insecurity that is present here today, every level of unsureness that you don't speak, or that you don't speak through people like me. I speak that that voice must be silent in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you see every person here and that your voice is available to every person here. God, I thank you that during this series that our tuning is being fixed into hearing the voice of God, that we are aligned with the things of heaven, God. God, we say today, yes, let it happen to me. God, here I am, send me. Here we are, God, send us. In the same way that you spoke in the Bible, God, won't you speak to all of us today as well, God? Speak to us. Speak through us. God, do what you want to do through us, God. Let nothing fall to the ground. Lord, whatever it is that you're doing, don't do it without us. Whatever that you're doing, God, don't do it without us. We want you to do it here and through us, God. And our answer will be the same as Mary's. May it happen to me. May it happen to me. May it happen to me. That's our prayer today. In the name of Jesus, may it happen to me. Amen. Amen and amen.